The Supreme Court hands down a unanimous decision regarding Trump. Biden receives more bad news from the American people. Plus, Nikki Haley backtracks on national television. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
Okay, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Monday. I hope you had a great weekend. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to start with the unanimous Supreme Court ruling on the Colorado case, which attempted to kick former President Trump off the 2024 primary ballot. The left will use any and every tactic to keep Trump from becoming president again. The Democrats are using the legal system to push bogus case after bogus case in an effort to miraculously convict him on something, anything, or to spend him into oblivion, or keep him too busy to campaign. All of this is being done as the Democrats claim that Trump and the MAGA movement are a threat to democracy. As it turns out, Democrats and others on the left are actually censoring conservative voices, throwing people in jail, targeting people on what they do or say or where they shop, surveilling people who go to church, and trying to interfere with the elections process by removing the leading Republican candidate from the ballot. The Colorado Supreme Court's efforts to kick Trump off the ballot were beyond weak. The case was built on Article 3 of the 14th Amendment, which dealt with preventing Confederate leaders from holding office because they engaged in an insurrection. The court claimed this is what Trump had done on January 6th, and we all know that is ridiculous. Thankfully, the Supreme Court of the United States saw through this effort and came down with their ruling today.
Right now, the Supreme Court deciding to rule against the Colorado Supreme Court and determining that Donald Trump is, in fact, eligible to be on the primary ballot. Keep in mind that Colorado primary is set for tomorrow. Now, part of the ruling that came down just says that all nine justices agreed to overturn Colorado's decision. And they said that, in our view, each of these reasons is necessary to provide a complete explanation for the judgment the court unanimously reaches. The judgment of the Colorado Supreme Court is reversed and the mandate shall issue forthwith. So a big decision here from the Supreme Court to overturn that Colorado decision.
It sends a strong message to all these leftists with the Supreme Court's unanimous ruling. This case was bogus from the outset, but that's the thing. It doesn't matter to these radicals. Throw enough accusations out there and people will start to doubt. At least that's what those on the left hope for. They can't win a debate on issues. They try to censor, subvert, and outright ban. That's how they win. Here's some reaction from Trump.
They worked long, they worked hard, and frankly, they worked very quickly on something that will be spoken about 100 years from now and 200 years from now, extremely important. Essentially, you cannot take somebody out of a race because an opponent would like to have it that way. And it has nothing to do with the fact that it's the leading candidate, whether it was the leading candidate or a candidate that was well down on the totem pole. You cannot take somebody out of a race. The voters can take the person out of the race very quickly, but a court shouldn't be doing that, and the Supreme Court saw that very well.
What this all means is that these cases in Colorado, Maine, and other states are done. No state can throw a presidential candidate off the ballot. That is the role of Congress, and Judge Andrew Napolitano helped break down the ruling with comments today.
What is interesting is that the court said Congress can resolve this, and it didn't say how. So Congress, of course, when it meets to count the electoral votes, could decide that somebody whose electoral votes are in there participated in an insurrection and therefore they're not going to count that person's votes. I think that would be unusual and strange, but the court did not foreclose that.
I guess it's important to win the House and Senate in 2024 as well. At least we have this case out of the way, but it just shows that the left will not stop. They will keep coming up with ways to shut down conservatives and silence our voices, because that is the only way they can win. All right, next let's talk about Biden versus Trump. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Okay, next let's talk about Biden versus Trump, because unless the Democrats find a way to replace Biden at the Democrat National Convention, the 2024 matchup will be an exact repeat of the 2020 presidential election. But a lot has changed since 2020, and although voters tend to wish there were some other choices available, elections are not about wishes. They're about picking the person who can do the job, and Joe Biden has proven that he can't.
We know that immigration is a key issue for voters across the country, and according to our polling, by more than 5-1, voters believe President Biden's policies will lead more migrants to try crossing the border compared with President Trump's policies. Only 22% think your policies will decrease migrant crossings.
That's just one issue, border security. And according to the CBS poll, Trump's policies are viewed as overwhelmingly better. But what do voters think about the economy? Different issue, same results.
Push that forward and ask, well, whose policies might make prices go down? And there's a lot of Republicans who think that prices will go down if Donald Trump gets elected. But what's troubling for Joe Biden is that you still get him associated with price increases, because a lot of people think that prices would continue to go up under his policies.
Biden has failed on every issue, and that's why Trump is in a very strong position right now. People keep asking me, why is Trump doing so well when he got voted out of office the last time? And there are a number of factors. First, I remind people that when you look at Wisconsin, Arizona, and Georgia, Trump lost the presidency by just 50,000 votes in those three states combined. And polling and surveys show that without a doubt, had voters known about Hunter Biden's laptop, a story that was censored and suppressed by a so-called free press, enough votes would have changed to keep Trump in the White House. You don't even need to consider other aspects like Democrat ballot harvesting and mail-in voter fraud. Just that one news story alone would have been enough to sway a very close election. Next, what many people don't realize is that for the first time in our lifetimes, we have two people running who have held the job of president. We've never seen this. Thus, rather than a campaign of promises and ideas and policies that a candidate might put forward to voters, this time we have actual results. There's nothing hypothetical here. We have the record when Trump was president, and we have the record with Biden as president. And that's what people are using to make their decisions. And it's an easy decision.
Our CBS News poll out this morning shows the former president with a 4-point edge over the current president among likely voters nationwide. That is Trump's largest general election lead yet in our surveys this cycle.
The CBS News poll is not unique. A new Fox News poll has Trump up by 2 on Biden. A Wall Street Journal poll has the same results. A New York Times Siena poll released this weekend has Trump up by 4. That same margin holds true in a new Forbes Harris poll. The point is clear. Americans don't feel that Biden can do the job, and they know that things were better under Trump. From the border to the economy to energy production to foreign policy and more, Trump wins on every issue. All right, next let's talk about Nikki Haley, because outside of spending an endless supply of never Trump money, it's not clear what she's doing. Now, if someone wants to run for president, go for it. Many people give it a shot, but eventually the results tell the story and candidates drop out. Everyone kept talking about Nikki Haley surging into second place as the Iowa caucuses approached. Could she give Trump a run for his money? I actually predicted Ron DeSantis would take second place, and he did, with Nikki Haley finishing third. I immediately told friends that in this cycle, that was DeSantis's high point. He beat everyone else in Iowa except for Trump, and that was the best he could do. I said I hoped he'd drop out, and he did. He's now in a great position for 2028. Haley, on the other hand, decided to keep going, but the writing was on the wall, and she keeps racking up loss after loss after loss. This weekend, Trump won in Idaho, Missouri, and Michigan. He's won every single state. But the media are grinning this morning after Haley won the Washington, D.C. primary, a result that is 100% meaningless. Yes, she picked up delegates, but this sampling of voters is so far to the left and so small, it doesn't reflect either general Republican voters or Americans at large. To put things in perspective, New Hampshire is a very small state. It had over 300,000 voters come out in the Republican primary. In Washington, D.C., there were 2,000. That's it. And now Haley faces Super Tuesday tomorrow, where she will get trounced, just like she has in every other primary and caucus. What will happen after Super Tuesday is not clear, But Haley certainly raised eyebrows this weekend when she said this.
Have you taken the prospect, the possibility of endorsing him off the table at this point?
It's not anything I think about. What I have
but
said
is... But is it off the table, Ambassador? It sounds like you are in a different place. Are people misinterpreting what you're saying? Have you moved to a place where you're no longer planning to endorse him?
Well, I think, first of all, if you talk about an endorsement, you're talking about a loss. I don't think like that. When you're in a race, you don't think about losing. You think about continuing to go forward. What I can tell you is I don't think Donald Trump or Joe Biden should be president.
Now, it's always good for candidates to think positively and be hopeful. But I also think that if you are running under a party banner, then you should support the party's nominee, whether you are the winner or whether it's someone else. That's just me. If you don't want to support the party, then don't run for the party's nomination. Haley was pushed a little more to answer the question, and here's that exchange.
Let me try it this way. You did sign a pledge, an RNC pledge, yeah, to support the eventual nominee. Do you still feel bound by that pledge?
I have always said that I have serious concerns about Donald Trump. I have even more concerns about Joe Biden.
So is that a no? Are you bound by the RNC pledge?
The RNC pledge, I mean, at the time of the debate, we had to take it to where would you support the nominee? And you had to, in order to get on that debate stage, you said yes. The RNC is now not the same RNC. Now it's
so you're no longer bound by that pledge?
No, I think I'll make what decision I want to make, but that's not something I'm thinking about.
If Haley is looking for a future in the Republican Party, she's getting the wrong advice. She concluded that segment on NBC News saying she was going to continue her campaign and show people that there is a path forward. But the thing is, there is no path forward. None. Haley's team obviously thinks that if something happens to Trump, then she will step in and be the nominee because she's out there losing. I mean, campaigning. But here's the thing. In just a very short time, Trump will have enough delegates to secure the nomination. If something were to happen to him, I guarantee those delegates would not vote for Haley. At the national convention, DeSantis, Ramaswamy, and others would likely jump back in, and DeSantis would likely emerge as the nominee. There is not a path forward for Haley. And unlike DeSantis and others who are trying to build a foundation for 2028, Haley appears to be going in the opposite direction. Friends, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. And remember, today's show's one sheet is available to Patreon supporters using the link in the description. The one sheet gives you the links to all the videos and stories used on today's show, so you can dive even deeper into each issue. And with that, our next show will be Wednesday evening at the usual time. Until then, I'm Bobby Eberle. This is the 13-Minute News Hour.